For us this morning and reminding us some wonderful truths. And again, as I mentioned before, happy Mother's Day and thank you so much. And I know that many of you are thinking about your mother that has gone on to be with the Lord. And I challenge you to just remember the good things that have brought in. And I also know that I'm speaking to some people who your mother was less than what you wish she would have been. And that's true with anybody because of the fact that we're all human, but I know that some of them in a very real sense experienced a mother that wasn't a biblical mother, wasn't a godly mother, but I challenge you to thank the Lord for what you do have because of her. The Bible says honor our father and our mother, and so we're supposed to do that even when they their lifestyles don't necessarily depict what a godly mother might be. And so I know some of you fall in those categories, but I challenge you today to look past some of those things and thank God that He has given you what you have and let you be who you are. And many of those things, of course, are because of your mother. And so we say again, thank you and happy Mother's Day. And it's just a joy to be back in church again today. And we're looking forward to a special time in His Word, looking forward to a special time tonight. And we just want to say thank you for being faithful to God. Thank you for being faithful to the church. Thank you for being faithful in your giving. Thank you for being faithful in communication one with another. And I'm challenging and asking you to please be faithful this week in communicating one with another. And especially if you're in some sort of leadership position, you're a Sunday school teacher, junior church, you're a Sunday school division leader, you're a deacon, usher, whoever God puts on your heart this week, would you please give a call, give a text, let them know that you're praying, thinking for them. And our church can come through a thing like this and be stronger together than even they were before. And I believe that with all of my heart because of the power of God is able to make these things possible. And so I want to challenge you to be faithful in reaching out to one another. Well, I want to preach to you this morning a Mother's Day sermon entitled, He Delivered Him to His Mother. And I want you to turn, if you would, to Luke chapter number 7. If you have your Bibles with you, Luke chapter number 7. While you're finding your place in Luke 7, I did hear about this story of this psychologist who was questioning three different people, William, Julie, and Bubba. And so for some reason, they were doing a little questioning for them, doing a study. And the psychologist said to William, William, what's the opposite of S-A-D-N-E-S, sadness? What is the opposite of sadness? William thought for a while and said, well, happiness. Said, okay, there's no wrong answers here, of course. And turned to Julie and said, Julie, what's the opposite of D-E-P-R-E-S-S-I-O-N, depression? What's the opposite of depression? Julie thought for a while and she said, well, joy. Finally and lastly turned to Bubba and said, Bubba, what's the opposite of W-O-E? What's the opposite of woe? Bubba thought for a little while and he said, giddy up. So there's a couple courtesy laughs. I appreciate that. But it is a blessing. Up until last week, I couldn't hear anybody laughing if we're on the front row. So I appreciate that. Luke chapter 7, let's look at verse number 11, if you would. It came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. I want to pray in just a moment, but again, I want to give this just a reminder to those who are listening on the radio only, 96.3, that we are here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And if you have a spiritual need or something that we can help you with, we invite you to call us at 423-477-3311. And let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask Him to bless the message this morning. Father, it's our prayer that you would bless and work in a special way today. And I pray, dear God, that all that's done today might honor you and please you. And we'll thank you for all the good that gets done. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in verse number 15 at the end, "And he delivered him to his mother." Jesus, of course, raises the young man that had been dead and gives him back to his mother. There's always been a special place in the hearts of people for moms. You think about people even that are in prison, the hardest of criminals. You can talk about somebody's dad. You can talk about their upbringing. But you have a hard time when you start talking about their mom. The roughest of the rough has a soft spot in their heart for mom. You never see somebody with a tattoo on their arm that says, "I love dad." But mom, maybe so. I think about this. Mother's Day is the third largest card-sending holiday in America, behind Christmas and Valentine's Day. 113 million cards are sent to mothers across America. It's the second most popular holiday for gift-giving, second only to Christmas. And so more people, except for Christmas, more people give gifts on Mother's Day than any day in the year in America. And for my home state of West Virginia, just a shout out that Mother's Day was started in Grafton, West Virginia, and so every other state in the Union caught on as soon as they possibly could. Mother's Day is a special time. We spend more, we send more, and we call more on Mother's Day than Father's Day and so many other days of the year. And so mothers, we love you. And I think about the special place that mothers play in the Scripture. You know, Mary, the beloved mother of Jesus, as Jesus was nearing the time when he was going to the cross, he told John to take care of his mother, showing the intense care that Jesus wants to portray and then give to all of us, that we ought to take care of the mother that God has blessed us with. And in this passage, we see that Jesus isn't asked to do anything. The lady, the mother, doesn't ask him to do anything about her son. Nobody else says, "Master." As far as we can tell from Scripture, the Savior is not asked by anybody to come and help this lady out. Jesus is moved, though, with compassion. And he raises the mother's son to life and then delivers him back to his mother. I want you to see three things this morning. Number one, I see the condition of the mother in verse number 12. He was the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. So before Social Security benefits, before any death benefits, before any social type of welfare program was instituted, this mother was faced with the predicament that she found herself in with no husband. He had already died. And obviously that child, regardless of how old he was, if he was an older child, then he would have probably watched his mother grieve the loss of her husband. And now the Bible says that her only son has died. So she had obviously already gone through a bucket of tears to get to this point in her life. Her life would be, as we would say, she's had a hard life. Now, her only hope of survival was that boy. That son that was laid on that little bier, that little coffin of a cot of a thing, that they were carrying that son out the gate over to the cemetery outside the city, historians say about 8 miles. And so their only hope of survival, because in that day, without social programs, without help agencies, then there would have been nothing left for this lady. She would have either had a life of begging to get her sustenance, or a dishonorable moral life just to make it by. And so not only is this mother losing her loved son, her husband is already gone, but now she's lost all hope of her livelihood. She's lost all hope of being taken care of. And so I see the condition of the mother is very, very rough because all hope is gone. But I want you to look not only at the condition of the mother, but the contrast of the crowds that are there. I see, number one, there's two crowds, the people that were present. In verse number 11, the Word of God says that there were much people. The much people in verse number 11 are those that were traveling with Jesus. He was coming off of healing the centurion's servant, and now he's coming down in this little city of Nain. And as he comes down, many of his disciples went with him, and much people. So two crowds are coming. Jesus and his crowd are coming in the city. The mother, following her dead son, is coming out. And what was typical in that day, as people would mourn and the crowd would grow as the entourage, as the processional was going out to the cemetery, people who were there and had the time, they would just gather, and that was the way of supporting. And so they would pick up people as they go. So there was a crowd coming into the city with Jesus. They were coming down to the gate there, and there was a crowd coming out of the city, and they were coming through the gate going to the cemetery, and that crowd was the mourning crowd with the widow. But you understand that when those two crowds got together, one had to give way, right of way to the other. Just like you go down here past Green's Auto Service, and there's a train track that crosses over. There's a pass there where you have to yield one to another. Two cars can't fit in there at the same time. Well, when the two crowds came, the one with Jesus, who is the truth, the way, and the life, and one crowd's coming with Christ, and the other crowd's coming with death, coming out of the city, and those two crowds, they can't cross one another. Jesus had a tendency to break up funeral processions when he was there, and many historians say that he probably did many more raisings than just the ones that are mentioned. But regardless of that, you understand that Lazarus broke up that one, and then he healed a young man, then healed a younger person as well. And so we understand that the two crowds that were contrasting couldn't cohabitate. The crowd of life gave way and pushed out, I should say, the crowd that was there of death. And so I see the two crowds, but also because of that, I see the two sons. The Bible says in verse number 12, she was the only son of his mother. And then I see the other son that was there in that crowd was the son mentioned in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so the son of God came out and met the dead son. The son that is the life came in and met the son that was dead. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 9, for in him, that's Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so when two sons collided there, then the Son of God took over the scene. I see not only two crowds that are there and two sons that are there, but also two destinations. Again, historians tell us that the cemetery that this lady was in an entourage going to would have been outside the city, some possibly 8 miles. Two destinations. The first destination was decided by the people who were undoubtedly helping this grieving widow. This grieving widow would have had to probably leave the details to somebody else to say, we're going to take your son. And I'm sure she was overcome. So much so that the Bible doesn't give any reference to the fact when Jesus came up to the body of her son that she objected or that she even noticed. Distraught with all of the terrors of what her life was going to be and then the loss of her son, she doesn't even notice. But we see the two destinations were the cemetery outside of town. But then when Jesus came on the scene, the destination of that lady and her son turned from being the cemetery outside of town to back to the house where she came from that morning. And I praise the Lord that if you're here today or listening today, that the two destinations, if you're born again, there's two destinations that you were on in your life. The Bible says, first of all, you were headed for a devil's hell. The Bible says we were born in our iniquity. And the Bible teaches that we were on our way to be separated from God. But if you were born again, John chapter 3, now your destination is heaven, the Bible says. You're on the road to heaven because of Christ and His salvation that He's given to you. Can I just tell you to rejoice this morning on Mother's Day, if you're born again, that the two destinations you have both experienced on the road to a devil's hell, but praise the Lord, you got saved, you were born again, and now you're on your way to heaven. And the Bible teaches that the destination that you used to have on your spiritual GPS will never ever be realized by you because you're on your way to heaven. But the two destinations given that day were so very real because that mother was very fully aware that the cemetery was where she was going to lay the most prized possession that she had, her son. Last of her family lay him to rest. And as real as the awareness of that destination was, the other awareness was just as real when Christ touched his body and told him to arise. And the Bible says that he took him back to his mother. And she was just as sure that her son was going home that night. Sat there undoubtedly in a little small, obscure, very unimpressive home. Probably just a dirt floor and a little bit of a roof just to keep some sun off. But can you imagine how that must have seemed like a palace that night? How that must have seemed like the Taj Mahal or the richest place on earth that night? Because here she was planning a destination at the cemetery, but instead her destination was met at home to sit with just a little bit of meal probably. But oh, it seemed like the finest of dining that night as her and her son got to sit. He conversing with her. My friend, I'm afraid we don't understand how beautiful it is to when Jesus comes in our lives and gives us spiritual life that we can see through the power of salvation, and we can see through the goodness of God how good it is to be on our road to the devil's hell. But now, praise the Lord, through salvation, today, if you're born again, you get to rejoice and say, I'm on my way to heaven. As if I were already there, I'm just as sure. I see the contrast given on that day after we see the condition of the mother. But I give you this last one. If you would, look at verse number 13, if I find my place here again. In Luke chapter 7, verse number 13, when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Now, she had already been weeping a river full of tears, undoubtedly. But Jesus comes on the scene and says, you can stop. I know I'm talking to a lot of mothers today that you've cried a bucket load of tears over your children as well. But I also realize I'm talking to some mothers who could give testimony today if we had the opportunity, who's given testimony today that you said, yes, I prayed a bucket load of tears, but praise God, my son came back to Christ. My son got saved. Brother John Epley last week sang a song about that. How, Mom, Mother, you can quit worrying. I'm saved. And there's a lot of mothers today watching or right here in the parking lot that you can give testimony and raise your hand in testimony to God. Say, yes, I had a son. Yes, I had a daughter who was far away from God. But praise the Lord, they're maybe beside of me today, or maybe they're at their church today, or they're watching online today, and they could give testimony to the goodness of God. And when Jesus tells the lady that had cried a bucket load of tears, weep not. I see the compassion in Christ. Because I already mentioned, the Bible doesn't say anything about that lady asking Christ to heal her son or to raise her son. The Bible doesn't say anything about one of the onlookers praying or asking Jesus, Jesus, would you do something? It's simply the compassion of Christ that makes the difference in the whole situation. And then He says, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Now, it's a strange thing. It's not written in the Scriptures, but historically you could see that Jesus would have been ceremonially unclean because He touched this death board, this bier, this death slab or coffin, whatever you want to call it. Because Jesus touched that and the dead body of this young man, ceremonially He would have been unclean. But can I tell you, when the life, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When the life comes on the scene, then death has to flee, because this is the same Christ that was going to tell death that He was defeated after 3 days and three nights in the grave. This was the same Christ, the same truth, the same life that was going to have victory over death, hell, and the grave. And so Christ had it on the resurrection morning, yes, but Christ had it here when He tells the young man, "Arise." I just see the comfort of Jesus. When He's unasked, it's not like Mary and Martha when they were begging Him to do things. It's that He loves this mother. As I already mentioned, you remember that Jesus told His disciple, John the Beloved, to care for Mary. Because He wanted, you remember He said He came to fulfill the law. And the Scripture is very clear that we're supposed to honor father and mother. And Jesus was honoring His mother when He told John to take care. And Jesus is honoring this mother when He tells her to weep not. I believe that Jesus gave more than just that lady's livelihood back. I believe that He gave more than just a job, because remember now, when this young man went home, that meant without Social Security, without welfare, without EBT, without anything else, this lady would have no options without her son. But now she has the hope of having her livelihood back, and he can tend to his mother, which was quite typical in that day. But I believe Jesus gave more than her livelihood back. I believe that He gave her hope back. I believe He gave her love back. I believe He gave her sparkle back, because He gave her her son back. I want you just to notice a couple things that in this passage. If Jesus was able to raise that boy from the dead, Jesus could have done anything else in that scenario. He could have made the people around there promise and vow to take care of the needs of this lady. He could have made her the greatest in the area. If you can conquer death, then you can conquer anything else. And so Christ could have done anything He wanted to do to this mother. But look what He did. He gave her her prized possession back. And ladies, I want you to understand that although the world tries to rip down all the importance of being a mother and being a wife and being a godly lady, although the world tries to minimize that and sometimes somehow tries to make a career seem more prestigious than a career raising children. I thank God for every working mother. I'm not preaching against that. I thank God for every mother that's done this. My mom went to work when I was a young junior high kid because financially we need it. And I thank God for all that. But please, please, don't ever buy into the lie of the world that there's a more important job than raising those children. God has given every mother a special gift in those children that God has allowed to bless your home. And the gift that Jesus gives back to this lady is not to rule and to reign as He could have easily set up for her. But instead, He allows her to continue in motherhood. Motherhood is so special. Ladies, please take comfort and joy and pride, and in the proper way of pride, I should say. But take joy and fulfillment, if God has given you children, in raising them for the glory and the honor of God. So today, mothers, I say thank you. I know that sometimes it seems like the days will never end. A pastor friend of mine, his wife, quotes that phrase from somebody that says, "The days are long." And they are, moms, I understand. But the years are short. Meaning that when you look back, you'll seem like it's just a few days. One of these days, when they walk across that graduation stage, it'll all be worth it. One of these days, when they buy that house and get off on their own, quit eating your food and quit messing up your house, it'll all be worth it. When they walk down that aisle and they take the hand of somebody, it'll all be worth it. After they're married and they fulfill God's will in their lives, and then they get married and bring that grandbaby back to your house, it'll all be worth it. This morning, mothers, we salute you. And just this lesson in here in this passage, when Christ could have done anything for this lady in the world, He chose to give her her son back. And I take that a great lesson today, that motherhood is a wonderful, wonderful gift from God. Moms, I beg you and ask you to keep on praying, keep on pleading, keep on mothering, keep on guiding, even if they're long since out of the house, those children that God has given you. Oh, if you have a child that's away from God, could I invigorate you once again to pray fervently for them, the effectual fervent prayer? Pray that God would move in on them and bring them back to Him. If you've got one that's unsaved and lost and undone, could I challenge you, Mom, hit your knees again more fervently than ever before and beg God Almighty to bring that child to saving faith in Jesus Christ? Can I challenge you, Mother, if your children are out of the house and they're doing well, raising their families for the Lord, can I challenge you to stay engaged, stay involved in their lives and their children's lives, your grandchildren's lives, so you can see them live for the Lord as well? There's nothing, nothing that replaces a mother. And Mom, could I tell you this morning, if you're watching, listening, viewing out here, and you're not saved, you're not the mother that you could be if you'd put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you'd be saved. And so this morning, I close with this. I don't know of a better position that a mortal could hold on this earth than a mother. And so I challenge us, if you've got a mother that's still with us, that you fulfill the biblical command to honor your mother. You say, preacher, my mom isn't where she ought to be. The Bible doesn't say honor your good mother. It just says honor your mother. I understand situations may dictate you can't do as much as you'd like, but you ought to honor your mother. And then if you are a mother, ma'am, can I speak to you just for a moment? Would you let nobody in this sin-cursed earth let you bring down the precious position that God has given you? Would you let nobody demean that position in your mind? Because Scripture is very clear that motherhood is a blessed gift from God. Thank you so much for being that mother that God wants you to be. Pray. Mother those children and love them and love the Lord for His glory. Would you bow your heads together with me? If you're listening or watching online or here in the parking lot, could I ask you just a couple of questions, not only to mothers but to everyone, but mothers specifically, and everyone else can join in. Mother, are you sure that you are born again so that you might be saved from sin on your way to heaven? If you or anybody listening or watching, you're not saved, just like Jesus raised that boy from the dead, Jesus wants to save your soul from spiritual death and certain hell. He wants to be your Savior. If you're here today watching, listening, or viewing from the parking lot, and you know you're not saved, but you know you're a sinner, and know that Jesus is the Savior, I challenge you right there where you are, bowing your head, to put your faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. As we begin to play, and as God is dealing with your heart, would you right there where you're at, put your faith in Jesus Christ? Pray and ask Jesus Christ, forgive your sins and be your Savior. If you need someone to pray with you, our telephone lines are open. 423, area code 423-477-3311. 477-3311. or prayer. You can ask for prayer. You can call in to ask for some other need. Or if you need help in understanding the gospel, would you call? Maybe you're here, you are saved. You know the Lord as your personal Savior. And you're a mother. Could I challenge you this morning? Maybe you've not thought of it, but could I challenge you to add it to your normal prayer routine? Lord, help me to be a mother that pleases and honors you. I'm thankful for every working mother, but I'm thankful for every mother that raises her children to live for God. If you work outside the home or you don't work outside the home, regardless of those things, you do a lot of work. You're raising those little ones for the glory of God. You say, what about the dads? Well, we'll get to them in Father's Day. But there's something special and biblical about a mother's love. And mothers, I want to say we love you and thank you so much. Don't ever give up being a godly influence on the lives of your children, your grandchildren, some of you, your great-grandchildren. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity you have. I am so blessed. My mom, I often joke, would be like the law, or like the grace of our home, and my dad would be the law. So mom would be the New Testament, dad would be the old. And I'm thankful for a godly mother, and I know that many of you echo those sentiments as well. Father, it's our joy to get to thank you for our mothers. And Lord, I realize that some of them don't have godly mothers like I do. But Lord, we thank you for what you have used them to bring us into this world, and some of the lessons you've taught us through them. Lord, we thank you for them. We honor them today, as your word says. And Lord, I pray if one mother or one anybody listening or watching is not saved, I pray you'd convict them, draw them to that point of decision right now, dear Lord, that they might put their faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Amen. Amen. Thank you. May look this way. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come and make a few announcements about some dismissal and some other things. But thank you for joining us today. What a joy to have you on the parking lot. Again, I challenge you to be listening this week for some instructions, some directives, and some instructions for this coming Sunday. We're going to have a great time in God's house, and I appreciate all that you've done. Brother Daniel, would you come, please?
Well, we do thank you for being here today, and we do just have some orderly dismissal announcements for you today to try to help things go smoothly as you leave, and I do want to just say a couple things here, so just listen tight. There was a problem, a technical glitch early on today, and so the Sunday school lesson, if you're trying to listen, maybe had it on your phone as you drove here, you're going to watch it later, will be played again and will be accessible later, so just wanted to let you know that. Parents that have kids in the car right now who are, I imagine, probably not locked into your car seats and things, as we dismiss, I want to encourage you to get them in safely, but don't just try to jump out as soon as you get them in and get into line so we can do things orderly. And so that being said, please watch the safety team as you go to leave this morning. What will happen is each row will be dismissed one row at a time, and each set of rows, and so the truck row over here and these first two sets of rows will be dismissed to go out the one exit that's over here right underneath the drive under, and then the last two sets of rows, if you're in those back there, you will be dismissed to go out by the buses, and so just pay attention to the safety personnel as they will give you an indication when it's your turn to go, so as soon as I say here in a moment that you can go, Don't everybody throw it into forward or reverse and try to get out as fast as possible so we can avoid accidents in that thing. Rick Payne and our Washington County Sheriff Deputy will be directing you at the road. And so make sure you pay attention to them as they direct you.